Rick Newman's back on the show with me today. Rick is a writer for Yahoo Finance. I check out all of the columns that he writes and saw one last week about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And because I've heard of these things but don't know what they are, I've asked Rick to join me here this afternoon to explain them and talk about how they have just exploded in value in the last few years. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hey, Paul, I think I have to go if you're going to actually ask me what these things are. I'm not sure I know that.
Well, let's start with that simple thing. Do your best. Fill me in on what is Bitcoin?
Well, it is a form of what's known as cryptocurrency. It's not the only cryptocurrency, but it's the most popular. It's the one that has the largest market value. And it's basically very complex computer code that can be crowdsourced by people who are sort of following a common set of guidelines to establish more and more Bitcoin. It has become very difficult to do that coding and the processing that it takes to at what they call mine additional Bitcoin. And according to the principles that are laid out in sort of the guiding documents for Bitcoin, there will be a finite amount of this stuff in circulation once it reaches 21 million Bitcoin. So right now there are about 16 million or a little over 16 million Bitcoin in circulation. And these are actually, this currency is actually being used for transactions. In some cases, it's used for illicit transactions and even criminal activity. But increasingly, it's being accepted for regular, legitimate transactions. And the whole question is this going to catch on or fade out?
Okay, well, let's take a step back here, because the first time I heard about it was for a quasi-illegal reason, because I have friends who play online poker. And as you know, back in 2011 or 2012, we had Black Friday in the online poker world when the Justice Department cracked down on PokerStars and Full Tilt Poker and others. They're not available in most of America anymore, but there are still these sites like Bovada and other gambling sites that I guess are offshore sites that continue to do business in America. And some of my friends who are online players, they use Bitcoin as the currency on there. They then trade it in for chips, which are valued in dollars. They're not playing for Bitcoins, but they're using that as the currency that they're using to get in and out of their accounts. But you say it's used for more than that and more things that are legal than illegal these days.
Yes, and I think the reason that gives people a lot of hope in Bitcoin is that it is transferable into the currencies that we're familiar with. Dollars, for example, there are exchanges that will do this. Kraken is one of them. Coinbase is another one. These are not traditional banks, but they function sort of like a bank that only deals in cryptocurrencies. I've bought some Bitcoin partly as an investment, but also just to understand what goes on. And when you make a Bitcoin purchase, all you do is link your account at Coinbase or Kraken or one of these other places to your regular bank or to a credit card, and the funds come out in dollars and they get translated into Bitcoin, and then you own Bitcoin, and the value of your holdings depends on the value of Bitcoin, and it has nothing to do with anything else happening in the market. It's just the value of Bitcoin. And then there are places where you can make legitimate transactions and buy stuff.
Okay, I want to go back to the value of Bitcoin, because if you buy a stock, you literally own a share of a company, and if that company does well, if their earnings report continues to come in positive on a regular basis, and if other stock buyers like it and continue to add that to their portfolio, the value of that stock goes up. What makes Bitcoin stock go up?
Demand. It's really that simple. More people want it, and there is, at any given time, there is a limited supply. It cannot be created, ad infinitum. So the more people want it, the more the price goes up.
Okay, but you said before that they're eventually going to cap it at 21 million Bitcoin, and now it's at 16 million. So if I own that and they make 5 million more, does the value of my Bitcoin go down by a third?
Well, if that were to happen overnight and there were no change in demand, then yes, that is what would happen. But that's not what's going on. It has become progressively more difficult to create Bitcoin. It requires a huge amount of computing power that, you know, most ordinary people and even coders and programmers don't really have access to. So it's fairly predictable that the pace of creation of the additional Bitcoin is going to be fairly slow. I suppose there could be computing advances that would change that outlook. But I think partly because it is known that there will be a cap on the total amount of Bitcoin in circulation. That is one of the reasons that people who invest in this see value in it. And a lot of people, you know, there is sort of an end times element to the way some Bitcoin investors think. I mean, I'll acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Some of these people, not all of them, but some of these people don't have faith in the so-called fiat currencies, the United States. You know, these are people who say, look, a $100 bill has zero inherent value. It's made out of paper and ink. There's just no value at all in there. I don't agree with that because when it's backed by the U.S. government, as messed up as the U.S. government is, that's where the value comes from. And it's really the same for any currency. But there are people who don't believe that, and they think that, you know, there will come a point when that is going to spell trouble.
Okay, wait a second.
Go ahead.
These guys have more faith in the zeros and ones of the cloud than they do in the actual thing they can hold in their hand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody who's buying Bitcoin. I think what's been going on so far this year is that people who don't really understand Bitcoin thoroughly, and that would be me,
and me
saying, look, I don't really get it, but I get that something new is happening here. This could be the future of something, and maybe it's worth getting in a little bit. Maybe it's worth, you know, putting a little bit of my investment portfolio into this. I'll give you just an example, and I interviewed a few people who fit this profile. One guy out in Sacramento, he said he saw somebody mention Bitcoin on Facebook a couple of years ago. He just started researching it himself. He helps run a winery. He knows nothing about, you know, finance or technology that you and I don't know. And he said what he decided to do was make Bitcoin the high, I think he's 55 or 56 years old. He decided Bitcoin would be the high risk portion of his retirement plan. So he put only a maximum of 10% of his total, you know, everything he was investing in Bitcoin, and the rest he put in a traditional 401k and a Roth IRA. And lo and behold, he's got $450,000 worth of Bitcoin, around 60 Bitcoin. I'm sorry, that went up by another 10% today.
What?
So he's got another $5,000.
Bitcoin went up 10% today?
Let me look it up. I'll tell you exactly, but... But at any rate, that's the kind of thing that's been going on. And sorry, it's up only three. I think it's up. It's up about 20% in the last 2 weeks. It's only up 3% today, but 20% or so in the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's up. I bought a little bit in mid-October, and it's up 35% since then.
Wow!
So that's almost a 35% return in 1 month. Now, this could come crashing down.
Yeah.
But people are looking at those numbers, and they're thinking, this is the analogy that a lot of people make. Look, maybe I don't completely understand this, but I sure as heck did not understand what the internet was in 1994 or 1995.
Yeah.
And that sure became something giant and transformative. And this could be like the internet. That's the analogy a lot of people make. I don't know if it's true. I actually have no idea if it's true. But that is the promise that people see in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, and that's really why demand for this is skyrocketing.
But you know as well as I do, Rick, that the internet craze of the 90s had people investing in all these internet stocks, America Online, Netscape, Pets.com, and on and on and on and on. And in 2000, that world came crashing down. Now it all came back thanks to Apple and Facebook and Google and all the rest of the Silicon Valley stocks of the last 15 years or so. But we did have a giant bubble that was ready to burst, and boom, when it did, a lot of people got hurt. Is Bitcoin analogous to that in any way?
It could be, and I think the way people are thinking about this is everybody knows, yes, there was the dot-com bust, but there was also this giant, extraordinary period of wealth creation from, let's say, 1995 until 2000, that made a lot of millionaires and multimillionaires, and those, you know, there were people whose companies got bought, and became multimillionaires overnight. You know, some of the very early dot-coms, you know, I worked for Yahoo, and Yahoo was one of them.
Yep.
Yahoo didn't get bought. It actually bought other companies and was one of the survivors, obviously, but it bought other companies and made people multimillionaires overnight.
Yep. Yahoo.
What if those stocks crashed later because the people who made all the money when the stock went up to, you know, went up by 10,000% without any net earnings, they made fortunes.
Yep.
And so that's one of the ways people are thinking about it. Yeah, maybe it is a crazy bubble, but boy, bubbles are a lot of fun when they're inflating.
Yeah. Yahoo bought broadcast.com from Mark Cuban. That's what turned him into a billionaire, and you know, now Mr. Shark Tank. So maybe it is there. Is any of this regulated?
Well, it is. It is and it isn't. So so governments are paying attention to it, and the U.S. government has said they consider, I believe that they consider Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, let me say, all of them, to be a security rather than a currency, and that for that indicates what regulatory agency would regulate it. So it would probably be the SEC. Rather than something like the FDIC or the Comptroller of the Currency. And in doing that, they didn't really regulate it. And in fact, what they actually did is sort of legitimize it a little bit, because they did not come out and say, we think it's a scam. They did not come out and say, we're going to prosecute anybody trading in Bitcoin. So I've talked to some Bitcoin investors who have thought this through. And they think that if it does end up getting more regulated, that actually could benefit cryptocurrencies, because it would make them more legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
The more regulated they are, the more people will trust them. Like Coinbase, for example, is FDIC insured up to $250,000. So, I mean, that's a huge comfort to people who were thinking, should I put a few bucks into this? I don't think that's a real threat.
Could I download an app right now? Put in my information, put in my bank account information, and through that app, buy some Bitcoin?
Yes.
Is that easy?
Yeah, it is. It's as easy as opening an account at Vanguard and Fidelity and buying some shares of Apple. It might actually be easier because, I was able to do this in a day. There's a waiting period while you wait for delivery, but your purchase price is locked in. The moment you make the transaction, if you do it with a credit card, which some places allow, the money just gets transferred from your credit card. You are trusting the exchange to be legit, well managed, and well capitalized. There was a disaster back in, I think, 2014 when this crypto exchange known as Mt. Gox, which was based in Japan, went belly up. And anybody who had it, there was no recourse for people who had Bitcoin stored at this exchange back then, because they couldn't get it. That's one of the oddities, and many people would say the risks of this is if somebody steals it, they steal the identifying code for the coin that you own, and if they have that code, they have it, and you can't get it back. You cannot go to, you could go to whatever exchange is holding and say this is your fault, and if that happens these days, that'll be litigated. But you can get hacked. Which means that when you start dealing with Bitcoin, security procedures are actually in some ways more significant than they are with a bank, for example. There are these things called Bitcoin wallets, which is an actual physical device you purchase that you would keep in your house or someplace safe, a safe deposit box where you can have, it's sort of like the backup coding that would let you identify your Bitcoin. So the Bitcoin is in the cloud, but the key that you use to identify your share of Bitcoin is something that only you have, and if you lose it, you can't get it back.
All right. Thanks to you, I've developed a plan. Here's what I'm going to do, Rick. I'm going to buy some Bitcoin, wait for it to go up a little bit, then cash that out and buy a time machine and go back to 2011 and meet this guy, Peter Saddington from Atlanta, who you wrote about, who bought Bitcoin for less than $3, and it's now trading at, what, $7,500?
It was $7,500 last week, Paul. Today it's at
$8,281. Oh, you're making me sick.
I mean, it's just this is the thing. This is why. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody they should buy this. But if you're interested in what's going on, if you buy just you know, $250 worth. You can't get much of a coin for that, but you can buy this in increments that go to 8 decimal points.
So I can buy fractional shares as small as I want.
Almost, yeah. Now, if the price gets bigger and bigger, I mean, there are some people who think this could go to $100,000 or more.
Of course there are.
Per coin. And if that happens, you know, that'll end up putting a minimum on the amount. It'll be, you know, it won't be as hard as a share of Berkshire Hathaway to buy, but it'll get harder. But for now, you can buy, I think you should be able to buy $100 worth, $200, $500. And if you have it and you're looking at it and you're like me and you're like, I just made 35% on my money in 1 month.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
What should I do? Should I sell? Should I buy more? And then you look at this new price and you think, I can't buy at that price because it just went up by 35%.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes up another 10% and you say, why didn't I buy at that higher price?
Rick Newman from Yahoo Finance, also the author of Rebounders, How Winners Pivot from Setback to Success. Thanks for trying to explain this to me in terms I can understand today, Rick. I appreciate it.
Thanks. It's fun, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.